Can you see any of that happening in your life? Can you see yourself motivating you and motivating others and showing you care by being unhappy? Can you see that? Because that's what's important, that you see yourself doing it. And then bit by bit, you start to change the behavior. I'm going to show you how to do that on this program. So we came up with that unhappiness is a tool. And you remember the Ginsu knife? That was a tool that was advertised on infomercials a long time ago. Well, I call unhappiness the Ginsu hammer. Yes, the Ginsu hammer. It smashes, it bashes, it dices, it manipulates others, it motivates me. And basically, it is my one tool. It's the best tool for smashing and blasting my way through life, making other people miserable in the hopes that they'll behave, making myself miserable in the hopes that one day I'll behave and become happier. Yes, it's a tool, the Ginsu hammer. It manipulates others, it smashes and it dices and it chops. Okay, now let's look at how we've learned this tool. This was the first tool we ever learned. That's why it's so automatic. That's why it happens so fast. That's why we use it all the time. Does it work as a tool? Yes, sort of. Now, here's where you learned it. When we're very small, I like to use a story by Barry Kaufman, who pioneered this work with the option process. And he tells the story of the grape juice river. I've kind of changed it, but it's basically his story. A little child is sitting on the white carpet playing, making a river out of grape juice and being perfectly themselves and watching the patterns, and they're being completely self-expressed and creative and flowing, making little rivers on the white carpet with the grape juice. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a large human being in the room, mom or dad or older sibling, yelling, screaming, saying, "What are you doing, you fool?" Maybe the little child is picked up roughly and sat in the corner, and the grape juice is scooped up, and the person is frantically working on the white carpet with rags and cleaner, and there's upset in the air. And all of a sudden, the little child has a break in awareness. Prior to this moment, that little child was in a soup, a beautiful broth of love and connectedness and at one with the world, and all of a sudden, bam, there's a break. Something's wrong. The first break that a kid has from bliss is usually, something's wrong. My world has just changed. Love is gone. All right, so the little kid is scolded, yelled at, talked to in a certain way. And that little person gets it. Wow, they are unhappy. My mother, my father, they are unhappy with me. And lessons are learned here. That little person, maybe you, learns, it's not okay to just be me. I have to be careful. My behavior hurts people. And they then hurt me. They modify me. They withdraw love from me. But, you know, going on in the subconscious, there's a learning. You see, when my parents need to change me or get me to behave or act in a certain way, they get unhappy with me. And kids learn this. It might not be all at once, but it's learned. And that kid starts to use it. Pretty soon, they try it to see if it works for them, too. They want a candy bar. And so, "Mom, can I have a candy bar?" "No, you can't have a candy bar." "I want one." Little bit of unhappy act going on. And mom says no, and then it escalates. I need it. I'm dying. I gotta have it. And the kid makes it work. Maybe not all the time, but the kid makes it work. They get what they want. They get a candy bar sometimes. And they learn one interaction at a time that if I can get unhappy with my friend at school, my sibling out playing in the yard, or mom and dad, I can oftentimes get them to do what I want by being unhappy. Okay? Do you remember? And kids know they're playing. They're just practicing with the tools. That's the tool that they've seen. So they got to use it too. It's life, you know? So there's no point in blaming your parents for teaching it to you. And there's no point in blaming yourself for teaching it to your kids. It's What is? Everyone gets it from the generation before. So really, please, no blame and no guilt. No blame of your parents and no guilt of you. It's something that is taught by society. It's not your fault. It's not their fault. It's just time to change it. So the Ginsu hammer is the first tool that any kid learns. It's how to manipulate others by being unhappy. And then, of course, we learn how to manipulate ourselves the same way. If mom and dad punished us when we were bad, then when our own conscience or sense of perfection gives us a little one of those twinges that I was talking about to make a course correction, we, in our ignorance, think, oh, this is the clue. This is the sign that it's time to punish myself. So then I start punishing myself the same way my parents might have punished me, or whoever was bigger than me at the time, you see? So it's an incorrect use of the twinge. The twinge is simply a course correction that says maybe what you're doing isn't working, and maybe what you're doing isn't making you happy. Maybe what you're doing isn't powerful to your life. But we don't know that when we're little kids. We just get the twinge, the course correction clue, and then we start to punish ourselves just the way our parents did. We yell at ourselves in our head. We say the same things like, you're stupid, why don't you get it right, blah, 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 blah. And we try to motivate ourselves with guilt. Now, when we're little kids, we know we're doing this. But later on, it becomes automatic behavior. So I want you to get aware again that it's just a game. It's not real. It's something we're doing in the moment. When we're little kids and we try to scream and wail to get what we want, it works sometimes, you know, because people want little kids to be happy. So they'll give you a candy bar, they'll give you a pat on the back, they'll give you the love that you want. Kids use this all the time to get love. They fall down, they're fine, you can tell they're fine. They look around to see who's looking at them. And if somebody's looking at them with concern, they'll start crying. It's funny to watch, and you've seen it. You might have done it. I've done it. I've done it as an adult, for that matter. I probably still will, but it does get you love, right? So I can make myself unhappy, and then someone will come over and pat me on the back and lift me up, you know, and coddle me. Now, when you become a teenager, you're trying this act on somebody, parents, friends, whoever. You're trying this act. Oh, I'm really unhappy. I want a candy bar, whatever, right? And they're not buying it anymore. They're sick of it. If it's your parents, it's like, you're not a little kid anymore. You're not a cute, cuddly little creature who can't take care of himself. So they just say, well, deal with it. And the teenager says, man, I got to make this act a little bit more real. They're not buying it. So it goes up in intensity. No, I really am unhappy. I really do need a new car. I really do need the keys Saturday night, whatever. And the adult doesn't buy it, says, look, you know, just deal with it. And the act comes up a little bit more. And the act goes through these phases where it comes up, and pretty soon the act isn't working. So the young person, the teenager, just declares, I really am unhappy. You just have to believe me. It's not an act. I really am unhappy that I don't have a car like the other kids, or I don't have the keys on Saturday night. I really am unhappy. And that's when it crosses over from being a tool to being psychosis, from being a tool to being a belief. I really am unhappy if I don't get what I want. I really am unhappy. And that's when it shifts over into the adult version of it, which is, hey, when I don't get what I want, I just get unhappy. When people treat me a certain way, I just get unhappy. It just makes me unhappy because that's where the gap is lost. Prior to that, when you're a kid, you sort of know that you're doing this thing. You know that you're being unhappy to get what you want. And at teenage years, the act has to come up because people aren't buying it. And then pretty soon you really are unhappy if you don't get what you want. And now you're an adult. And that's how we are. We really have erased the gap of choice. And somebody speaks to me in a certain way and I'm just unhappy. It's fast. It's automatic. I'm just back in their face, or somebody, you know, passes me rudely on the highway and I just immediately get unhappy and flip them off without even thinking that I have a choice and, you know, what's going on here. Things make me unhappy. That's the belief. Things that happen make me unhappy. I forget that I was using that unhappiness once upon a time as a tool. Yes, the tool, the Ginsu hammer.